Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, and today I want to extend this welcome not only to my own regular listeners, but also the subscribers of World News Brief. Ryan Holland, the host of World News Brief, is enjoying some well-deserved vacation this week. He asked me to fill in for him by kind of jointly combining our two shows. Since current events and politics are recurring themes on my own program, and since Ryan is such a nice guy, I was only too happy to comply. He has certainly done the same for me often by filling in for me in the past. So let's get to the news, starting with that corner of the world called the Middle East and its connection to our own little corner of the world called the United States. Speaking of the United States, what could be more American than ice cream? Yeah, ice cream. We're going to begin today with the subject of ice cream. Okay, I called it American, and technically we didn't invent it. Ice cream was first found in places like Italy and France. That's actually true for a lot of so-called American foods. Hamburgers and hot dogs, technically frankfurters, were first invented in places like Frankfurt, Germany and Hamburg, Germany, but we made them our own. We have our Americanized versions. Hope we don't get accused of cultural appropriation. I'd hate to have to stop eating hamburgers and eating ice cream. Anyway, as it happens, very few of our American foods are indigenous to America. Some exceptions would be popcorn, which can be traced to Native Americans, but we think of ice cream and hot dogs as being American as Chevrolet. Well, maybe you figured out by now, I started with ice cream because I'm leading up to that idiotic Ben and Jerry's story. Ben and Jerry's are boycotting Israel because of Israel's occupied territory. Occupied territory, so-called, I should say. The idea is, hey, kids, go back to the pre-1967 borders before you took the West Bank, or no more ice cream for you. Like the soup Nazi on Seinfeld. Remember the soup Nazi? No soup for you! Come back! 1 year! Now, as it happens, Ben and Jerry are Jewish. News outlets are making a big deal out of the fact that they're Jewish. For myself, I don't care. I myself am Jewish. And yes, you just heard me say that I don't care about Ben and Jerry being Jews. So why do I bring it up if I don't care? Because again, a lot of people do care. Again, some of the articles reporting this boycott are reporting on the Jewishness of Ben and Jerry. You see, they think the idea of Jewish people themselves protesting Israel speaks volumes. Oh, it speaks volumes, all right, but not the way they believe. And so, to be thorough with this mindless, disgraceful story, I will comment on Ben and Jerry as Jews. I will comment on Ben and Jerry as businessmen who love political protests. And finally, I will address the thing they are protesting, alleged occupied territories. First of all, none of this is a surprise. Ben and Jerry's has boycotted Israel before. It's a little different this time. That's why it's making such news. More on that in a moment. But even if they hadn't boycotted Israel before, none of this would be a surprise. You see, things have gotten so politically correct that whenever I hear a person's viewpoint on one issue, I automatically know their view on all issues. Probably you've made the same observation, but I'll just speak for myself. This means I immediately know where a person stands regarding Israel simply by listening to them talk about some other hot topic, some other unrelated subject. It's true. If somebody, for example, is pro-choice regarding abortion, I immediately know where they stand on the matter between the Israelis and the Palestinians. They are on the side of the Palestinians. And this works on all the politically correct issues. If I know a person is anti-Israel and pro-abortion, I also know that they are in favor of same-sex marriage. Not that those three issues really have anything to do with each other. In theory, a person could take one side with one of them and other sides with two of them, but it never works that way. A person who is pro-choice is also pro-same-sex marriage, period. In whatever form that issue and related issues is currently being espoused. That means that a few years ago, many people who were pro-same-sex marriage would not have approved of a man using a woman's locker room just because he sees himself as a woman, but now they do. Now they approve of that, too. A person is not considered a defender of gay rights unless he accepts the entire gamut of LGBTQ. Whatever direction the new position morphs into, people move right along with it. Again, what does LGBTQ concern have to do with abortion? And what do either of those issues have to do with Israel? Nothing. Absolutely nothing, except that they are three items on a list that people dare not deviate from. Other issues on the same list? Open borders, no ID at election polls, and of course, the unconditional acceptance of Black Lives Matter. Don't bother trying to explain that they are really a Marxist group, that you do not accept Black Lives Matter, the organization, but you do accept the statement Black Lives Matter, you do believe Black Lives Matter. The left will not allow that thoughtful distinction, neither will they distinguish it from critical race theory. Catching on? Seeing the pattern made up of things that should not be patterns. If I know a person's position on the unrelated matters of critical race theory, LGBTQ, abortion, borders, voting rights, I also immediately know their opinion of Israel. Chances are they've never studied anything about Israel, but I know their opinion of Israel. Israel, in their minds, is an occupier persecuting the poor, innocent Palestinians. I'm talking in generalities, of course. There are always exceptions, but generally speaking, you tell me where you stand on one issue, and I know where you stand on all issues. Mind you, they are all completely separate social and political positions tied together only by a PC community which pressures people to march in lockstep. Independent thought, not allowed. In the name of tolerance, free thinking is simply not tolerated. And so, since Ben and Jerry's have been quite vocal about LGBTQ and critical race theory and abortion rights, we already knew their position on Israel, right? How sad. I should not know that. I'm not a prophet, but I am someone who knows how to read the tide of the times. Okay, so much for the track record of Ben and Jerry's business, which is really no different than the track record of any liberals in business. What about their Jewish identity? Often over the years, people have told me about Jews who are on the side of the Palestinians as if that ironic fact automatically ends the conversation. I'm expected to fall out of my chair. What? Even Jewish people protest Israel? Oh, say it isn't so. Gee, Israel must be bad, all right. Real bad, if even Jews are criticizing her. With all due respect, those who bring this up are showing their utter ignorance of the Jewish people. And I know what I'm talking about because the Jewish people are my people. Often, Jews are their own worst enemies. This is nothing new. Historically, Jews have been their own worst enemies. How did the Nazis get away with the Holocaust? Because Jews couldn't imagine anything as evil as the Holocaust, even in the middle of the Holocaust, even after the Nazis passed the Nuremberg Laws in the early 1930s. Often, Jews feel that the correct way to respond to criticism or persecution is to do some personal reflection. Now look, folks, reflection is a good thing in its own right. We should all examine ourselves, but there is also such a thing as battered wives syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? The wife whose husband beats her and she excuses him instead of pressing charges. Oh, it must have been me. Maybe I did something to make him angry. He's really a good guy. You just have to get to know him. You just have to offer him some understanding. He always apologizes after hitting me, and sometimes he buys me flowers. Besides, he had a really horrible childhood. I always take that into consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I have seen this battered wife syndrome on a global basis. It affects the Jews, and it's starting to affect Americans. How many people in our country right now are being taught to hate themselves just for being born white? This, in the name of fighting racism, feel bad about the skin color you were born with. How many people are taught to hate themselves just for being Americans, no matter what color they are, even when America is attacked? I had a chance to visit Ground Zero, formerly the World Trade Center, practically 1 month to the day after 9/11. I had been scheduled to speak on a college retreat in upstate New York, and I flew out from San Diego, California to do so. When the retreat was over, I managed to talk some college students into driving me into the city. It was close to 3 in the morning when we finally parked, got out of our car, and began walking toward Ground Zero. On the way, we saw U.S. soldiers everywhere. Despite the Statue of Liberty and the neon lights of Broadway, it felt as if we were somewhere reminiscent of Beirut. When we finally arrived at our destination, we saw workers on steam shovels digging up debris. Smoke was still coming up under the ground, serving as an eerie reminder of the horrific one-month-old event. A large fence enclosed the entire work area, illuminated against the dark. I stood quietly with the students and a few other spectators. It was chillingly silent. It seemed surreal. We were unable to put our feelings into words. After a while, two other visitors, a husband and wife, broke the silence by talking with me. They were also from California, so our conversation began with something in common. Their friend had been at work in one of the towers that fateful day. She was now dead. I'll never forget what the wife said to me regarding the 9/11 terrorists. "I'm just trying to understand what we did that makes them hate us so much." I answered her, "Maybe we did nothing. Maybe they are just evil." Oh, you should have seen the expression on her face. It was one of astonishment. Clearly, I had given the wrong answer. In her opinion, like so many other mindsets today, we must have provoked them somehow. This had to be about our oil interests in the Middle East or some other action which offended people to the point of creating a backlash. Nobody could be this evil simply for evil's sake. In fact, there's probably no such thing as evil. Well, my friends, if evil doesn't exist, it is inconceivable that America or Israel is being targeted by evil. Instead, people find themselves fishing desperately for alternative explanations. Without a moral compass to guide her, this poor woman was utterly confused about exactly what happened to her dear friend on 9/11. Back to Ben and Jerry's. As I alluded to earlier, they have put pressure on Israel before regarding the sale of their ice cream within occupied territory. It's different this time, and this difference was described in the Jerusalem Post. I'm reading from the Jerusalem Post. Ben and Jerry's boycott targets a company that is not located in a West Bank settlement or in a Jewish neighborhood of East Jerusalem. The Israeli ice cream factory is situated in Be'er Tuvia in the south between Ashkelon and Ashdod, relying heavily on milk products and employees from that region. It does not operate any ice cream stores over the pre-1967 lines. So the only thing that ties it to the West Bank, also known as Judea and Samaria, is its sales to individuals or vendors, such as supermarkets and gas stations, which then stock the ice cream on its shelves. Speaking of boycotts, this latest boycott is viewed as a victory by BDS, an infamous organization that stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions of Israel, BDS. BDS has connections with the terrorist group Hamas, which calls openly for the complete and utter destruction of Israel. I'm not saying Ben and Jerry personally would go that far. I am saying that most of Israel's enemies in the Middle East, when they talk about occupied territory, are talking about all of Israel. That the Palestinian Charter still does not recognize Israel's right to exist. It's not about a two-state solution. It's about a one-state solution, the Palestinian state. A mere two decades after the United Nations allowed for the legal birth of the nation of Israel, 9 different nations, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Algeria, Kuwait, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq declared war on Israel and promised to exterminate every Jew. I'm reading from Radio Cairo, May 17th, 1967. Egypt is ready to plunge into a total war that will be the end of Israel. Does that sound like a voice interested in a two-state solution? A two-state solution which incidentally had been turned down by the Arabs, later dubbed Palestinians. So let's be clear on what we're really talking about here. Israel was not trying to occupy any new land in the 1960s. Israel was threatened with annihilation. Just what part of that do today's elitists not understand? But instead of sitting back and allowing herself to be destroyed, something the Jews had done for many years, Israel instead surprised the world with a preemptive strike. They defeated the Arabs in just 6 days. At that time, Their territory was expanded to the West Bank, the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, and the Sinai, which have since been given back. They also took the remainder of Jerusalem, half of which had been under Jordanian control after the War of Independence. A good deal of that territory had been promised to Israel earlier in the Balfour Declaration, then sold behind her back by Great Britain to her Arab enemies. Even so, Israel was willing to live within her slim borders until her life was threatened in 1967. I realize I'm saying a lot of provocative things right now, stuff you seldom hear, but it's absolutely true. If you want more detail, I did do a three-part series of podcasts back in May called The True History of Israel and Palestine. It was part of the Bob Siegel Show. You can still listen to these programs. Go to cgmradio.com/Bob. At that time, you could subscribe to future programs too, or just go back and listen to those. The first in that three-part series was on May 17th of this year. Or if you prefer to read, check out my book, The Holocaust Against Israel, available on Amazon.com. It's important to study the past. The past gives us a window into the future, and I just wonder what kind of future we're going to see with Ben and Jerry's as the years go by. Hot off the press, Ben and Jerry's, in their never-ending quest for tolerance, fairness, and diversity, has announced several recent ice cream flavor decisions. Vanilla ice cream is now going to be retitled White Privilege Ice Cream. It will not be served by itself. It can only be ordered if other flavors and other colors and other sauces are put on top of it. As for their continued concerns about Israel, the new bagels and lox flavored ice cream has been scrapped. Yeah, a possible look into the future. Back to the present. Leftists today are just as hell-bent on the destruction of the United States as they are about Israel. They continue to elect politicians with policies that simply make life unsustainable. That doesn't mean America will cease to exist. It means America's republic will cease to exist. Marxists and other kinds of fascist tyrants always come to the rescue of anarchy, chaos, and out-of-control crime. Speaking of crime and its relationship to genius choices in politicians, Governor Gavin Newsom of California says crime in California has gone down, while crime in red states has gone up. Yeah, he said that. How he said that with a straight face, I'm sure I don't know, but he said it. I guess they just don't count the new wave of shoplifting, in as much as Californian thieves can now casually stroll out of stores with a cartload of items that they never paid for, so long as they don't total $1,000. They could do up to $999 worth of goods if they want. I've seen them on TV with those smug smiles walking out of the store with stuff they just swiped off the shelves. But I'll tell you something, I blame them less than I blame idiotic, enabling governors like Gavin Newsom. Well, maybe he'll get recalled. There is a big recall going on, and there do seem to be enough signatures coming our way. Unfortunately, all that means is that the choice of removing him from office will be on some ballot in a future election. What assurance is there that when that election comes, it will not be a stolen election, as the 2020 election for president was stolen? Speaking of President-elect Biden, he says voter ID is like Jim Crow on steroids. I know. A lot of people want to give good old Joe a pass because he's obviously losing his mind, and clearly others behind the curtain are pulling his strings. That's true. But let me tell you something. Joe Biden, at full brain capacity, was still a pathological liar and a politician who changed his positions with the wind. I may have sympathy for him right now, but I have no sympathy for the way he was before. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me. If he were capable of making his own decisions right now, he would be deciding exactly the same things and making exactly the same statements, just with less stuttering, maybe less sniffing. Yes, he would make the same statements such as his comment about the January 6th Capitol building break-in, calling it the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Oh, really, Mr. Biden? And I did say Mr. That was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Was it also an attack on democracy when in the name of George Floyd protests, a federal courthouse was attacked in Seattle? That was a federal building too. Was it an attack on democracy when people were murdered in these riots from coast to coast? Or when stores and other businesses were looted, stores owned by American citizens? Was that an attack on democracy? When their homes were burnt down, was that an attack on democracy? Or a middle-aged couple greeted by a mob at the door demanding that they give the house over because of their white privilege? Were any of these attacks against democracy? Was it an attack on democracy when police were ordered to stand down in the middle of riots? Was it an attack on democracy when Democrats called for the defunding of police? How's that working out? Oh, that's right. It's not. That's why the new lying narrative is that actually Republicans called for the defunding of police. Boy, you don't even need years and decades to do historical revision anymore. You can revive it right in the same year. Well, there are always some bad actor Republicans in the mix. That's true. But don't act like the Democrat Party doesn't own 99% of this chaos. The same Democrat Party which put into practice the original real Jim Crow laws, since you like bringing up Jim Crow. And on the subject of voter ID, something people need to board a plane, something people need to take out a loan, something people need to buy liquor, something people need to get into the Democratic convention. You are comparing that to Jim Crow laws, Mr. Biden? You, who would probably in a heartbeat demand a COVID vaccination identity card for every single inhabitant of this country, how dare you lecture us about identification at the polls, you wailing weasel? The very definition of democracy is a country that votes. Allowing people from other countries who are here illegally to vote in our elections, that is the definition of an attack on democracy. Fixing an election by ignoring the constitutional laws about elections, that is an attack on democracy. But you already know this, Mr. Biden. Even with a microscopic amount of brain left, you know this. And the fully functional brains of your puppeteers also know this, because while they lecture the rest of us about democracy, they are setting out to turn us into a country that will no longer be a democracy or a republic. Look, I don't agree with the Capitol break-in on January 6th, but let's be clear. There were people there protesting that day, the high majority of which did not break into the Capitol. But exactly what were these people protesting? The stealing of an election, the stealing of a presidential election. Have we forgotten the original purpose of that day? The stealing of an election that you campaigned for in the basement, Mr. Biden? That was the greatest assault on democracy since the Civil War. And this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.